So we pray, Heavenly Father, we come into your presence this morning by your invitation, and actually by your own free gift of your love coming down to us and making yourself present to us and for us, and we appreciate that very much. Knowing as we sing this morning, Jesus, you're here, we are thinking in terms of Jehovah Elohim, Jehovah Savior, God himself, who came down in the Garden of Eden to deal with his erring children, and now at the end time, having come down in this great moment, this last little hour of time here blending with eternity, God himself, this great Jehovah Elohim, come down to us with the book of redemption, and to put all things in order to bring back a glorious bride to that Son in whom he will incarnate himself, where we crown you King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We thank you, Father, for revealing that to us, the work going on at this moment, the shout, bringing all things into subjection to the Word. And we know that could not be done except there be a Word to be brought into subjection to. And then again, we know that could not be done except there was a Spirit in the Word which would deal with us as that Word is in us, to bring us into that place of worship at the end time and subjection, waiting now for the complete delivering over to the Son, and then waiting again for that day of complete deliverance over back to the Father. We thank you for making this known to us. We understand who we are, who you are. It's been face to face. We acknowledge these things, and we know them to be true. We give our seal to them, Lord, and we appreciate so much that you've showed us these things. And even if we just knew them and they bypassed us, as Brother Branham said, if we're not bride, there's a bride out there somewhere. And by the grace of God, we will not stand in the way, but hopefully as friends we could stand by with great encouragement and rejoicing, knowing this, the will of our Lord is being fulfilled. Whatever we need to know this morning, Lord, help us to know and understand it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, I'm sort of betwixt and between. I'm caught between whether to just answer questions and go into Scripture extemporaneously, which is sometimes very, very dangerous unless you're a prophet, which I certainly am not. But it does perhaps answer some questions, and it's just hard to know what to do. The questions I can see are those which are troubling people concerning Godhead. Not an understanding, and I don't claim to have too perfect an understanding on the particular subject, but one question says, when Brother Branham described a little light forming, could you please touch on this, and did this one that formed play any role in Jehovah appearing before Abraham? You mean that would be the one formed? Then another question, could you elaborate on the scripture and statement you made last night on whomsoever the Son sends? Also the different roles that have a play in Godhead in this. Well, there again I say I'm in betwixt and between. I hate to break off what we are into as concerning leadership here, and the definitive understanding of the Godhead, of which Jesus Christ is not a part any more than you and I are. He is a Son, and we are sons. And we are in a definitive order according to the sovereignty of God, no more and no less. And as he played out his role, we also play out our roles. And one day it is going to come to the place where we really truly understand, and the understanding will be the greatest in New Jerusalem, and from that point on there will be a further mellowing and bringing into captivity and subjection every single thing about us to God himself, so that that image can be more perfectly mirrored in each one. And as I described that to you previously, Brother Branham said the millennium is a place of further sanctification. And I showed you recently how that it says concerning the New Jerusalem where the Son is on the throne, the Lamb, and the pillar of fire above the throne, which is God, Elohim, Jehovah Elohim himself. Now what you are looking at, he never ceases to be the Lamb. Now we understand every tear will be wiped away. There will not be a remembrance of the former things. But as you go into the scripture, you will find every single time was they were going into the promised land and they got there, which is a little type of the millennium. Invariably, the role of God in deliverer was brought up. Remember the miracles. Remember the deliverance. Remember the Red Sea. Remember the crushing defeat to Pharaoh and his host. Remember, remember, God preparing a table, God bringing manna, God doing this. So in my understanding, there will never be a time when we lose sight of and remembrance of our Redeemer, our kinsman, our brother, the Lord Jesus Christ, who paid the price, who is not God the Son, no, and he's an obedient son with his name on the same check as his father's, but he doesn't squander what belongs to the father. Understand what I'm saying? Adam did it. Eve did it. Sold out for sex. But Jesus didn't. See? There is no seed, no progeny, yet he shall see his seed. What seed is that? The same seed he is. Redeeming him. Putting his blood upon the ground. In order to redeem our earth, because we are dust, to bring us forth. So, all right. In the New Jerusalem, we see him. And he is that Lamb, and we are the brothers. We are the sons and daughters of God. They're called sons. Coming forth, why? Because they don't come by sex. So all this talk of God being female and this and that, I don't buy it. The same guy that said that says Jesus is comatose. Who needs a comatose lawyer? I'll tell you, most lawyers act as though they were comatose, and better that they were when they plead your cases. But don't mix those buzzards up with Jesus, the dove of the Lamb. So, all right, we see him on the throne. He's Redeemer. And yet, the tree of life has roots on both sides of the river of life. This is symbolical. And yet it is there. And it has 12 manner of fruits. And the leaves are for the healing of the nations. Now what's to heal? How can you heal a glorified body? Brother Branham said it's to keep peace. What's to keep peace? You put two stones together, they don't fight. You put two glorified people together in the millennium, and Jesus on the throne, and before they answer, what's to fight? What's to keep peace? Well, it's further sanctification. It shows that you and I never were of the status that God gave his only begotten Son, the one of a kind. He said, thou art, this day have I begotten thee. This day have I started my generations in thee. And if that isn't the truth, how come then it says a generation shall be for him as a seed? We are his seed, but not by sex. See how Brother Branham brought it all together. Now look, we are looking at this one that was way, way back in the beginning. Now remember, sons have beginnings, so therefore he was back in the beginning. The question came to Brother Branham, what is the difference between Jesus and God? He said there is no difference except sons have beginnings. Now Brother Branham had said different, he would have lied to you. Because between this one and the Father, there is no difference substantially, except one is the Son that came out of the Father. But according to Hebrews, which we read to you, the first chapter, Paul tells it 100% the way Brother Branham just said it. And it said, hath in these last days spoken unto us in Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. And this Son, who being the outflowing, the effulgence, the outflowing of his glory, in other words, the complete assessment of what and who God is in its utter perfections, so there can be nothing added or taken from it. All right. And the expression of his substance. He is the expression. Upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. There's somebody sitting on somebody's right hand. Don't try to change it. You want to go oneness, you'll be sitting on your own hands. Look, don't give way to stupidity. Don't talk the way they talk, or you're not getting ready to go. You talk the way the prophet talked. Now then, how is he the same except for sons have beginnings? Well, as simple as ABC, even the Jews knew it. He said, if you make your son the Son of God, then you're equal with God. Except this son was obedient, led of the Spirit, led into temptation, fortified by the Spirit, fulfilling the whole word in coming out and putting Satan in his place even before he died on the cross and went down to spoil Satan's domain in the netherworld. We're talking about this one who said, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Thou, O God, my Father, my progenitor, my source, from whom I came out and am equal with you, you will not leave my soul in hell. I'm getting steamed up and I should quit right now because I can get mad and hotter than a firecracker. This is the same cruddy stuff they said in Saskatchewan. Trinitarian hogwash. They made Jesus God. And I read the scripture and it killed it up there, at least for some time. I said, these people are so ignorant that even a fourth grade child, even in grade 1 and 2, if he can read where they cannot read. There is one mediator between man and God, the man, Christ Jesus, not the God, Christ Jesus. Amen. Then why read it that way? Why think it that way? Why talk it that way? No, I'm jealous. You know I'm mad. But I don't think my anger is a human anger that is just because I want to be heard and want to have my way. The point is I am angry because there stood a vindicated man and I'm quoting him quote after quote and taking you to the scripture. What more does anybody want? Because of William Branham's one iota off that scripture. He cannot fill the position of the prophet under 1 Corinthians 13, when every part is fulfilled, which means perfection, complete conclusion, and polishing. Who would dare to polish a bowling ball if it's a perfect sphere? Which, by the way, let's face it, for the first time in history, you can make a perfect sphere and you take it up in the stratosphere, up in a capsule, right? And there you can make a perfect sphere or a ball bearing, which you can't make on earth. Huh? For the first time. Now I'm real Pentecost. I could start screaming and running around this building. But what would happen if I did it? You wouldn't run and scream with me, so I'd be all alone. And you'd sit there flabbergasted, what in the world's going on with the lead there? Is he nuts? That's right, I'd be nuts. But I want you to know something. This is real with the reality of God for the first time in 2,000 years. And even back there, they couldn't have it because it wasn't time. Paul can now only apprehend what he was apprehended for, which is the first resurrection, and to come out proving that he was the leader and had the truth, and the world is judged by his gospel. Because it is his gospel. He said, the world will be judged by my gospel. Why didn't he say Jesus Christ's gospel or God's gospel? Now you're getting your answers. We're talking about the Son and the Father, aren't we? Huh? The Son said, I can only say what the Father says. Therefore, Paul could only say what the Father said. Yet Jesus had a message. Yet Paul has a message. Huh? All right. Going back to the New Jerusalem. We see positively the one out of whom this one came. Starting God's generations. We see every single one, either in New Jerusalem or outside, who was in Adam's generation. Which is ours. And we are there. And there you distinctly see the Father and the Son and all the other sons. And as Brother Branagh said, there's no difference between us and Jesus. Now listen, he said, there's no difference between Jesus and God, except one had a beginning because sons have beginnings. And we showed you now, the Son, the firstborn, is equal to the Father in every single solitary thing. But if he's an obedient son, he will always be under the Father. Why? Because the Son is not the source. You don't beget yourself. How many of you begot yourself? Tell me. Each one of you. I wanted to be born. I chose my parents. Here I am, Brother Dale. I'm getting sarcastic and mean and rotten, aren't I? But you might have it coming to you. Or somebody. Neither did Jesus. He said, I never say anything but what he says, and I never do anything. That makes him a perfect equality. Now, Brother Branagh said, we came exactly as he did, except for one way, one thing. We bypassed the spirit or word body, which we should have naturally had. He did not. Why? Because of light form. Now, don't try to go deep into light and say, what this and what that. And listen, light is substance. If it wasn't substance, you couldn't see light. There's light. Substance. Spirits are substance. Yeah. Can pick you up and throw you down. And that spirit in Lauren Fox's meetings that knocked Pentecostal people over like ten pins, Brother Branham categorically told me it's a wrong spirit. Spirits from hell can do amazing things. Some kind of telespiritual transportation they go into. It was proven that a man down in Brazil, I got the book in my library. They had men sitting at a table and a cigar was sitting on the table. The cigar began to disappear. They walked in the closet and there was the cigar. So I don't believe, anything. I wasn't there. But there's evidence of authority. So maybe the men were hypnotized. Maybe they weren't. Life is physical. Spirits are physical in the sense they are a distinct substance of a sort. Brother Branham woke up to that reality. He used to think years ago you went up there and you were a disembodied spirit, no hands, no nothing. He said, there goes Brother Neville, like a little cloud, but I couldn't shake his hand. I never did believe that. I don't know where Brother Branham got his, but you can see what happens to people. He's no different from us. He had his goofy ideas for a while, and God straightened him up. Hey? So therefore, we came like he did. Except we bypassed that word form, which would have been commensurate, and we were put down here to be tested and tempted in flesh. So therefore, until we die, we shall be tested and tempted. That being the case, who needs a comatose intercessor? I'll tell you who's comatose. The God Baal and his when they stood before Elijah. They screamed and they jumped and they beat upon drums and cut themselves. And Elijah said, well, maybe the old boy's asleep. He said, shout a little louder, you might just wake him up. Or maybe he's gone hunting. And he's too busy to listen. We don't have heathen corruption in our midst. We have an understanding. And I want you to understand this, that Jesus is no different from you and me concerning the source. It is the same spora of God, not sperma, spora, little flowers. A part of nature of which God himself took part. And he took part by the only begotten Son, the one of a kind, in whom he began all his generations. As Brother Branham said, God was the first man, Jesus the second, Adam the third. Now, did he say it or didn't he say it? Didn't he say, now you've got two of them when the light formed and the Son speaking to the Father? Get me a oneness preacher that'll tell you that. Okay. So, all right, the question comes up, what about this light that formed? What, if any, role did he have? Well, number one, God by him created everything. Now, let's go to John. First of all, we go to John 14 and begin to see that this is a real person. And before we read it, remember, he said in John 12, I would like my glory restored to me that I had with you in the beginning. Beginnings of beginning. In other words, your assessment, what you thought, therefore what I am. Here stands something to compare to now. And he said in John 17, restore to me the glory I had with you. In two places he talks about the presence. I mean the position he had. So therefore he was absolutely pre-existent. And Brother Branham describes that the light that formed as a child playing around the Father's throne, and he goes through all the steps of creation by word and formation. So starting with the sun, the great molten mass, out of which chunks flew off and fell for billions of years cooling. And the glaciers forming, making America. And he talked about Kentucky. You read it yourself. Now, when did Brother Branham take it back? When did he say, I made a mistake? I was only illustrating. Brother Branham was not illustrating. He was telling the truth. And he told the truth under the mystery of the seals and the ministry to which he was called. Telling us those things which were not known from before the foundation of the world. They were here in the Bible, but they never were explained. And he explained them and he brought them forth one by one. Now the Bible distinctly says that God by Christ Jesus created all things. And that's not only in Hebrews, which mentions the ages, but it's in the book of Ephesians. And it's not talking about the ages, it's talking about absolute sheer creation. Now the point is this, did Jesus do the creating? No, God did the creating. But there was no creation whatsoever until the light formed, which means God gave birth to that sun. Because the word form means to take the thing which is there and mold it. The word create makes the need to make something which never was there. And is spoken into existence. Now this light form was that Son, intelligent. And he talked to the Father, and the Father talked to the Son. And God, through that Son, let there be light, let there be this, let there be that, and there was. Now that's what the Bible says. Now don't try to figure it. Because the minute you do, you're going to go right back to the New Testament and you're going to find yourself Jesus only. And when you do, that's your tough luck. It's your tough luck. I've warned people time after time. I say, watch your crossovers. Just watch it. You take that shortcut to the end of Jesus only. Now you got a comatose Jesus on the throne. Hallelujah. What good is he? Now you got the same blabbermouth saying, and nothing but blabbermouth. Well, his body went back to the dust. His body went back to the dust when Brother Branham said, God raised the body and placed it on the mercy seat. Say they believe this message. Well, I'll tell you, there's money in it. There's big money in it. There's dynasties in it. The same birds that accuse me of organizing themselves have organized. And the organization is against. There's one true God with His Son in the presence. And the biggest revelation, the great revelation of this hour is the true understanding of Godhead and baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When any man baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ without the true understanding of Godhead, in my books is literally baptized in vain, unless he comes up to the foolish virgin or something. I don't understand it. I'm a purist when it comes to these things here. I was going to read out of John. In John 14, it distinctly says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Now remember this positively. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now there's only one God of truth, and that's God himself. That is not Jesus. So now you see you can become Jesus only so quickly here, it just befogs your mind. From henceforth, you know him as seen. And Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, suffices us. And Jesus said, have I long so long with you, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Why? Because he was that visible manifestation of the Father. He was the body, the tabernacle in which God himself, the Father of Jesus, was dwelling. Now, the Father and Son were of one substance, but the body was clay. Why do you say, show me the Father? Believest thou I'm in the Father, Father in me? Now, the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. And the same one doing the talking is doing the works, and if he wasn't doing the works, he wouldn't be doing the talking. And if he's doing the talking without the works, then he's a liar. Vindication. What is that one doing there in that pillar of fire? He's bringing the church in order under the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he can present this church to our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb, our elder brother, in the flesh glorified. And when that one is incarnate in that body, we crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Is that too hard to understand? Is it too hard to understand that that Lamb right now on the Father's throne, in the glorified body, is that one that stood on earth here, that was one time not incarnated in flesh, that he himself produced through his life in the womb of the Virgin Mary, that he himself was that light through whom God operated creating all things, that he was the one who stood beside Satan in the worship of Almighty God, and at that time he indwelt Michael, and Michael is still living. Now, if your minds are blown, please leave now. Don't bother staying here. Are you still befogged this morning? You can't understand simple language? Or you say, boing, 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 I can't take it because it doesn't make sense to me. Well, who are you? Who are you? Fact. Some of you here are just like me. You're ashamed to stand in the presence of God. You're so lousy, rotten, stinking, messed up inside and the outside. than think you got the character to speak up. You know what true humility is? Shut up and acknowledge what is truth. So, Brother Bill, I'm just not part of that. Well, then you're not part of it, period, if you don't acknowledge the truth as it's given to us. See, well, that's not a part of my salvation. It is too. It is too, because you got to believe Paul's gospel or you don't make the rapture. Because you're judged by it. And Paul said, Jesus Christ, that Son of God, literally came out of God and was formed of God's own substance, that he might be the true impersonation, in the good sense of the word, and personification of God himself, though he himself was not God. But he was purely essential. You could say literally a half of the literal Spirit of God. You don't even want to go by measure. The Bible says he got the Spirit without measure. So just leave it that way, because you can't measure it anyway. But there is a measure in Scripture, the Bible tells us. Leave it there too. So he is that one. Now, let's keep reading. Believe me, I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Now you can't get away from that. And remember, I keep telling you, and ask Brother Branham, Brother Branham, what does it mean when Jesus said, he that has seen me has seen the Father? He said, you're looking at me, aren't you? Same thing. Oh, blasphemy. Oh, I can't receive that. Why? It's too simple to receive, isn't it? It's too logical to receive, isn't it? It's too drab to receive, isn't it? Oh, we must get some polished little things twirling in space, and we go dancing across the platform like a bunch of weirdo and idiots. Because, hallelujah, we're spiritual. I'm really pouring it on, aren't I now? Don't give me that crud. There's Brother Branham. He said, you're looking at me. Same thing. He said, it isn't William Branham that says those things that come to pass so perfectly. It isn't William Branham that raises the dead. It isn't William Branham that tells the future. It isn't William Branham that exposed sin. Who was it? God in the prophets. God in the prophets. The prophet God to the people. And why do you claim that you're born again and you've got God in you when we all live like a bunch of skunks alongside of William Branham and live like hell turned inside up and upside down alongside of Jesus Christ? How dare we say we have anything? Oh, we're so smart. You know what? Hypocrites. Serpent seed. Make-believers. Yeah. That's the truth. You know something? When Brother Branham stood there discerning, you couldn't hide if you tried, neither could I. Yeah, you should have gone through my experience. You don't have to. Because experience doesn't do any good anyway, because of what you believe. What does it say over here in the fourth chapter of Hebrews? For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Remember, this is Rhema Logos we're talking of. The Rhema Logos of Elohim Jehovah. Sharper than two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder soul and spirit, and joint and marrow, and discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with half to do. And that tells you that can only happen in the Laodicean period, when they're wretched, miserable, naked, and blind, and don't know, and he exposes it. How do you think Brother Branham discerned? You're looking at me, aren't you, he said. Oh, my, what blasphemy. Oh, my, yes. Hey, without that, I don't have anything. Thank God he could say, you're looking at me, aren't you? Not a hypocrite now. Not, oh, William Branham's a great guy, bless God. Oh, he's not like the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul killed the bride and thought he's doing God a favor. William Branham never told a lie. Oh, he never did anything wrong. When he was dying, the only thing he could say, I didn't commit adultery. What's a kid of his age doing committing adultery? He'd done everything else in the book. Are you going to try to fall back on one thing you didn't do when you did everything else? Yet he says, you're looking at me, aren't you? From that moment on, did God now say to him, William Branham, you blew your guts and your brains right out. I'll never back your word in public again. You'll never have my word to be backed in public. You'll never discern again. You'll never know these things again. Hogwash. He kept right on doing it. Huh? See, I think God was pulling a joke. Oh, God. Merciful God. Something wrong somewhere. So the question is, does this one have any part? He certainly does. He's never ceased to have his part. He will never cease to have his part. Any more than you and I have within us a gene of God, eternal, but encased in the figure, encumbering us, we can't remember one thing about it. And we fight daily. We have our daily problems and abhor ourselves in dust and ashes, knowing what we are in the flesh. And it's very difficult to give way to the Spirit that lets us know exactly who and what we are. In spite of the flesh. Because you see, it's the flesh that dies, not the soul. The soul can only die when it's cast into the lake of fire and annihilated. Our souls don't die. We get new bodies. Called a word body, a spirit body. That meets you up there. And then if you don't go up there to meet it, it comes down to meet you with your glorified body. And in this hour, we're beginning to know when time and eternity mixes and it's face to face, and there it is face to face. A prophet like Moses, a prophet like Paul, William Branham, Elijah of this hour, standing there face to face, and the picture taken. We're known as we are known, and we know him. But they don't. They don't know he's the elder brother, the great one. They don't know who he is. Oh, he's comatose. Oh, he's gone back to the dust. Oh, it's just God. There never was a son. The son is God, and God is the son. Where do you find God the son? But I can show you 100 places in the scripture, at least where it's the son of God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, it has to, that if God's the Father of Jesus Christ, then axiomatically, 100%, it follows that Jesus is the son. Is that not true? And if we say our Father which art in heaven, is that just a matter of these birds out there theologically say, oh, wait, my, listen, Adam was the son of God by creation. Hogwash, he was the son of God by creation. God breathed into him the breath of life, which was the Holy Ghost. He became a living soul. The soul took on Zoe, a part of creation. Does he have a part? When did he not have a part? When will he ever never have a part? When does it wear out? I'm answering your question together. Now let's go to John 5 and 19. And Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. A prophet with visions. You know, we don't need visions, bless God. If you're a real prophet of God, you don't need visions. Just go ahead and do it. Just Jesus, Son of God, you just go ahead and do it. Just go ahead and do it. Just go. Oh, shut up. You're smarting off at the mouth. See, I know I can read you like a book, and I'll tell you why. I'm a man. I can read every man like a book. I'm a human. I can read every human like a book. And being what I am as a religious person, I can read every religious person like a book. And that's exactly what the religious person says. Ah, this is Jesus. He's God. Hallelujah. He's down here, and he's on his own. Yet every scripture says he is not on his own. Every scripture tells you he's a prophet. Standing face to face like that. then veiling God for the word to come forth. And he says right here, I don't have a mind of my own. I don't have a word of my own. I don't have a thought of my own. I don't have an act of my own. I am not my own. And Paul, in the footsteps of Jesus, could almost say the same thing to perfection. He said it, but not to perfection. The Son can do nothing of himself. We thought he could do anything. Why? Because he said, I could presently call for 12 legions of angels. Sure he could call. As far as the ability is concerned. But he couldn't call on the grounds of being that word Son. See, Adam was did that bypass the word body. He was not a true word Son. The gene was in his soul, and the soul was the gene of God. That is true, but he was put in human flesh. He was tempted, and he could say, I'll do this, and I'll not do this. And Jesus coming and taking an identical manner could say, I won't do this, and I will do this. But he said, I'm determined to do my Father's will, which I will. And Brother Branham said the same thing, mind you. I read it just back here in my Bible. I'm determined to do my Father's will. It's in here somewhere. Let's keep reading. What he sees the Father do, for whatsoever things he doeth, the Son doeth likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that himself doeth. Oh, isn't that beautiful? And he will show him greater works than these that you may marvel. All right, what part does that have today? Let's go back to John 14 again. Verse 11. Believe me that I am the Father, Father me, believe me for the very works that truly, truly say unto you. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Now, is he comatose, so he cannot see the greater works? Here's Jesus having paid the price, risen from the dead on the throne, and God comatose him. Yet these words that Jesus spoke have to come to pass. Because they're not his words, they're the Father's words. They're the promised words, greater works he's going to show me. That man said he did them. You ask me now, what part did he have? What part doesn't he have? His name's on the Father's check. What God poured into him, he's never lost. What God's poured into us as a bride never has been lost. Does that answer your questions? Two people asked the question. If they're not answered, please rise to your feet now and tell me, you haven't answered my question, Brother Bale. I still don't understand. And tell me what you don't understand. You saw Brother Branham, didn't you? Huh? I mean, we can show film, is that correct? Look, there's, if you haven't seen Brother Branham, there he is. No problem, that's it, that's William Branham. Don't worry, I knew him very, very well. That is William Marion Branham. Yeah. You're looking at him. Now, what part of God are you seeing? Well, number one, you're seeing an image in the flesh. I can understand that. What people fail to understand is where Brother Branham categorically said the same thing Jesus said, it is God in me doing the work. I hope I have that. I do. Let me read it again, and please listen and put it down in your hearts and never ever change. Now, I want you to know this is sure. This is certain. This is the definitive definition. I will not add. I will not take. Believe me. This is it. And you that listen to this tape. Now, you might have thought today I was trying to say that about myself being I'm packing this message or preaching this message. I have no more to do with it than nothing
no more than just a voice. The Apostle Paul said the same thing, right? Is that true in the book of Galatians, or must I read it to you? Huh? Does anybody disbelieve what I said? Raise your hand, be a man or a woman. Have guts this morning. Have some guts. Huh? I'm mean. I know I'm mean. But I'm not mean. And I'm not angry. Do you understand that Paul said, I never got it from anybody but God Himself, and I am just telling it as He told me. So he was just a voice. All right. And my voice, even against my better judgment. I just wanted to be a trapper. But it's the will of my Father I declare to do. Now, the word declare means to bring forth in words and lay it all out before you so that you get it. What it's all about. And I'm determined to do. I wasn't the one that appeared down on the river. I was only standing there when He appeared. What is the appearance? Presence. The word presence means they didn't even know He's coming. They don't even care how He came if He did come. The only thing they know, He's here. I was there and He was there. I'm not the one that performs these things and foretells these things that happen as perfect as they are. I'm only one that's near when He does it. I was only a voice that He used to say it. It wasn't what I knew. It's what I just surrendered myself to that He spoke through. It isn't I. It wasn't the seventh angel or seventh messenger. He's tipping his hand now, Revelation 10:7. Oh, no, it was a manifestation of the Son of Man. The very ministry of the days of the Son of Man, where God, through human flesh, does the same thing that He did through the flesh of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago, according to Matthew 12. It's there. And it hurls us forth into victory past judgment. The long, long night is past. The morning breaks at last, and hush the dreadful wail. In fury of the blast is o'er the distant hill. The day approaches fast. The Comforter has come. Taking over. Not men. Not Lee Vail. No, they think I'm trying to be somebody. It wasn't the messenger, his message. It was the mystery that God unfolded. It's not a man, it's God. The messenger was not the Son of Man. He was a messenger from the Son of Man. There's your answer. Why? Because the whole program of God has been placed in the hands of man. And the head of the whole man deal is Jesus Christ. And when He's head of the bride, those of the out resurrection, don't forget that He's still head of the foolish virgin who comprised the multitudes outside the holy city and bring their glory in. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, they're not as though they were headless. No, no. Now, listen. It was a mystery God unfolded. It's not a man, it's God. The messenger was not the Son of Man. He was a messenger from the Son of Man. The Son of Man is Christ. Now, what's He talking about? He's the one you're feeding on. You're not feeding on a man. A man, his body will fail. But you're feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. Now, are you telling me, what are you doing today? The only way there's an identification with the one, the true Lamb of God that's on the throne right now in His Father's throne, mediator, intercessor, the only identification is by the Word. There isn't any other. Why? Because that was His identification. And in His identification, vindication by God, proving who He was, He proved who those were. The same today, because He's the same yesterday and today and forever. Through that vindication, proving who God is and who He is, He proves who we are. Brother Branham said, I have seen, I have heard. And because I've heard, I speak. So we are completely identified as never identified before. So there you are. I ask again. Is there any question now from anybody that you can't understand where I'm going? There are not two gods, but there is a God who became a father. Yeah. Yeah. And he became a father by giving birth. That which formed that son came from him and is a part of God. And according to the word, which is the law of the firstborn, he is equal. And the Bible said, though he was equal with God, he did not choose to stay there in his equality, but he demanded of God that he get it back. So he came down not as a servant of God, he came down as a servant of man. And he served us. And the people wanted to be great. Oh, can I sit on this side? Can I be in the kingdom here? Can I be there? He said, let me tell you something. He that is greatest of all is servant of all. And the great son, not God now, the great son, with God's words in his mouth, said, I am the great son, and I become the servant of all. Isn't he called the servant? Isn't he called the righteous branch, showing that God's going to put forth another branch? Redeeming all the children. Didn't Brother Branham say, if the church brought forth another branch, it'd bring forth a Pentecostal branch? Oh, a Pentecostal branch. Talking tongues, jump and holler. Forget it. The Pentecostal branch was God himself coming down, dividing himself. And at the same time, a division. He had a prophet there to whom he appeared and brought the word. And the word became the test. Not that you lived it, but you believe it. Because you're going to live something. No man lived perfect. But whether you live or die, you die unto the Lord. Therefore, we are the Lord's. No ifs, ands, or buts. Again, I say, is there any questions? Now, don't be afraid. I won't. Listen, I'm not going to hit you between the eyes. I'll calm down, be real sweet now. Won't even dance. Won't even shout. That's a pretty good guarantee. I don't intend to. Are you beginning to understand that God became a father? Do you understand even before he was God, he was spirit, and he was Holy Spirit? And that spirit was not created. Eternal was there. Can't understand it. Don't try to. Don't boggle your mind. Just shut up and accept it. Oh, there's a fabulous temptation. If God's eternal, why has he only dealt with the last 6,000 years? Woo! These questions are nothing alongside of that one. Eyeball spin. Heart goes boing, boing, boing. Stomach gets upset. Forget it. Forget it. Those 6,000 years, that might be some kind of an eternity with God. Who knows? Don't try to second guess God. Just take it. And each day of creation was 1,000 years, so you got 6 more thousand thrown in there. I got 12,000. And Brother Branham said the world was being created for billions of years. Huh? I'm going to read to you. Got your Bibles? Go to Ephesians 1. I'm going to read to you different from what you've ever read it before. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, grace and peace from God our Father. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Now, I read that way on purpose, deleting the names of Jesus, because I want you to know that we were in God. Before even the light form, which was the only begotten Son, starting the generations. What I'm trying to show you, there is a God who had a Son. And it is not God the Son. It is God the Holy Ghost, period. who did it all, because Jesus said he did it all. And Jesus did it by vindication from God. He was speaking the truth. When they tried to worship him, he said, "Don't worship me, worship God." And when they said, "Oh, good master, don't call me good, there's one good, that's God." Well, he was just polite. You bunch of hypocrites, if you believe that, you've got to be weird, sick, and serpent seed. Jesus was not polite. He was gentle, meek, and kind, but he wasn't polite. You and I use that term. Find that word in the Bible, polite. You can't do it. Polite means you can just grin. Pink. I'm not even that merciful, heaven. What a problem. All right. Let's go again. Verse 4. According as God has chosen us in himself before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him, in love having predestined us unto the adoption of children to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. Now, in whom we have redemption through his blood. He said, that's talking about Jesus, yes and no. Remember, Jesus is the blood of God. The book of Acts tells you that, right? Brother Branham brought to our attention. The forgiveness of sins, wherein he abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known us the mystery of his will, were according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself, that before there was a son, that in the dispensation of fullness of times he might gather together all things, never mind Christ now, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him, in whom also he attained an inheritance, having predestined us according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. That's God, the Father. That we should be to the praise, to the praise of his glory, leave out Christ, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after you also believed, you received that Spirit, Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our redemption, inheritance, until the redemption, the purchase of possession. Whereon, therefore, also after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, I seek not to give thanks to you, making mention to you my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him. Now you can see in here, by leaving out the very name of Jesus and Jesus himself, and putting us there, you have to understand that what God did in and through Jesus, it was all right and we were all a part of it. Never were a non-part. Never were a non-part. Always were a part. Always were a part. Came just like he did, but bypassed the theophonic form, the word body, spirit, body. Here we are. The Bible distinctly says that Jesus was in the election natural, positively predestinated. We don't miss one thing that he had except that position in the plan and purpose of God, and I told you right here already about it. And how do you make Jesus God? How do you make him different from us? When the prophet said contrary. You know what's wrong? The thinking hasn't changed. The repentance hasn't set in. Too many lousy, rotten preachers. And you're listening to them. I don't classify myself as one of them. I take every word from the Bible, every word from the prophet. I'm going to tell you something. There's an interpolation here we're going to look for on Wednesday, if we get back on Wednesday. We're not going to worry about it right now. All right, let's keep reading. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now remember, he's the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, and this tells me one thing. He's the Son, but he better watch his step. Even though he's got a Father who's God, God is still God. And the Father relationship does not obviate the Godship. Huh? Well, said the judge, this is my son, and I know he's been caught running drugs, and I know he raped a little girl, and he murdered her father, but you see, he's my son, so I gotta let him go. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, I'm God. This is my beloved son. no favors. Huh? Now listen to me, I'll prove it to you. Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience. Huh?
Amen.
Thy suffering. Fatherhood did not obviate godhood, right? Huh? Then is he different from us? No. 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 Where do you get this God the Son stuff and leave Baal preaching two gods? There's a record of my voice on a tape and in heaven. And there's a record of other men's voices on tapes and in heaven. I'm not afraid to stand with my record. Here's the Bible. Prove me wrong. Come on, read it. Come on. You're not dumb, ignorant people here. You all got grade one education. Merciful God, you can read something. You read that. You can read the label on a tin of beans and a can of soup. And some are even so talented you can read a recipe the right way and make a cake. Even I can do that. And the girls here are fantastic. Oh, they're sinners, though. They feed me these luscious concoctions. Yeah. All right. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. The Father of glory. You get what I'm saying? The Father of glory. He is the progenitor and Father of glory. Oh, how beautiful to know if he's our progenitor, we are bound for glory. What a fabulous thing this is to be born in the kingdom of God, to be from the loins of his mind, to be one of his genes, to know our soul always was eternal. Actually, we as people never needed to get saved. It wasn't imputed to us. Tempted in the flesh. It's the flesh that dies. It's the flesh that needs to be redeemed. There was the blood that fell upon the ground. Our bodies came out of the ground. Oh, yeah. The sinning soul dies, but the gene of God cannot sin. That which is born of God cannot sin. I didn't say form now. It's born. When Brother Branham said formed, he was merely telling you that that which came forth had that light around it. Was formed out of the manifestation thereof. Now, the Father of glory may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, himself. The eyes of your understanding being lightened, you may know his hope, his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, that you may fully come to the revealed word and know what lies in there, because that is your inheritance. Hey, the will has been opened and is being read the right way for the first time and brought into a proper execution of it. Of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of power to us who believe, according to the working mighty power which he wrought in Christ. Human being. For the pre-existence. Whom he raised from the dead, and set him in his own right hand in the heavenlies, far above all principality and power, might mean everything in his name. And not only in this world, but in the world to come. New Jerusalem, remember it, and put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. All right, now, you've got two things you're looking at. You're looking at the fact that the church is the body of God, according to this chapter. You're looking at the fact the body of Christ. How does it come that way? When that spirit that's in him becomes incarnate truth, we'll crown it king to king and lord of lords. Whose bride are we going to be? Whose bride are you going to be? The same one as on earth said, I and my Father are one. That's someone making a bride, but presenting it to himself. Brother Branham says that same spirit becomes incarnate to us. Now watch. And you who are dead in trespasses and sins, When in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of this air, the spirit that worked in the children of disobedience, among whom also you had our conversation, our behavior in time past. In other words, you're just like the wicked old serpent seed out there, no different, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, rotten murders, adulterers, rapers, and liars, and thieves, and God knows what. No different. And we're by nature the children of wrath, that old quality down even as others. But God, who is the Father of you and of Jesus, who is rich in mercy for his great love, worthy loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. In other words, he's telling you right here, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is working in us, delivering us from our sins, no longer serving those appetites and sins. As Brother Branham said, you were put here in this flesh to go through temptation, but now he said by the baptism with the Holy Ghost, it's commensurate and literally equal to you being in that word body. But you see, it doesn't follow that perfect route. Why? We got an intercessor because we err. As Brother Branham said, we backslide 1,000 times a day. See, all the thing comes. Don't take one statement Brother Branham said and run with it. Take it all. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. The kindness was there all the time, and God was working it out, but it had to come this way. He said, why did it have to come this way? Because God wanted it. Ever talked to a little kid one time in your family and say, why do I have to do this? Because I want it this way, and that's the way it's going to be. Oh, you shouldn't say that to a child. You're going to destroy him. Oh, my. Oh, what a sucker and a sap. Look, kid, if I got to wrap your head with these knuckles, you're going to do it my way. Oh, now you're being mean. You take away the liberty. You shouldn't do it. Shut up and mind your business. I'll mind mine. God's minding his. And if you can change the scripture that God doesn't chasten you in your disobedience to make your flesh suffer so you're smart enough, then you're going to hell right now. I'm going to tell you flat, you're going to hell. Forget it. If you took away the word of God, you're going to the lake of fire. Your name's off the book. Gone. Don't try to outsmart God. That's what they're doing in this message. That's why they're repeating Bill Gossett. He's not the originator of this stuff, the family relationship and proper responses and all those things. He's the guy that took it up. The guy ahead of him drew crowds of 7,500 to 10,000. And he taught from his own words what I taught in mine many, many years ago. It is not your action that counts, but it's your reaction against an action that proves what you got inside of you. And Brother Branham said, Lee, you changed my whole life when you said one thing. It's not action, it's reaction. Now he said it. You don't have to believe me, though, Brother Beale's lying. You don't need Bill Gossett and his stooges and the family relationship stuff. You just need to get to this word, man, woman, to have a relationship in Christ. As old Dr. Bell said, that's the father-in-law of Billy Graham. Everything you need to know about sex and life and everything is right in this word of God. Read it and apply it. And sex is confined to monogamy. One person each. Oh, they say, it's okay, I got this lust and this desire, let's fulfill it. Go ahead, go to hell. Get AIDS. And go to a lake of fire that could burn for billions and billions of years. That's your tough luck. Amen. Merciful God, you can't even beat the income tax on a righteous rat. In other words, you're right and they're wrong. You can't even beat it. They'll get you anyway. They told a friend of mine that owned a Holiday Inn up there in, in Pennsylvania. Harrisonburg. He said, look, I don't, my accountant prudence is here right here. I don't owe this. They said, let me tell you something, Charlie. It's cheaper for you to pay us and get a lawyer. That's the law of the land. That's the IRS. They had trouble back in Jesus' day. We got it now. Income tax collector is a publican. How many repent? You understand what I'm saying? Through his kindness, through Jesus Christ, for by grace you're saved through faith, and that faith and that not of yourself is a gift of God. He doesn't say it's a gift of Jesus Christ. He says it's a gift of God that came through the meritorious work of this Son. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. For we are His workmanship through creation. What creation? A new spirit within us, because Jesus died upon Calvary in order to bring us the Word. Remember, it's a covenant of blood, and blood in itself is not a covenant. Blood merely binds and ratifies that which is covenanted, which is a pact, which is words of agreement. The certain condition shall now prevail. Right? Then don't talk about the blood unless you know the conditions. Don't talk about Jesus being Savior like the Catholics and saying Hail Marys. And say, well, we don't believe it, that Mary actually died first. Jesus did. But you know, she can intercede because she's the mother. She pulls the strings. Maybe the purse strings. Tell me what strings of the heart that Jesus can she pull. She hasn't got any. Don't talk about the blood to desecrate it. Talk about the blood. Bleeding, dying word. Bleeding word. Blood of God. Rhema Logos, Jehovah Elohim. Talk about that. For the first time in 6,000 years, we have true theology. The true revelation. God fully exposed, mankind fully exposed, and a wedding going on by grace through the shed blood. The marriage legal, the marriage proceeding, consummated, the millennium, because the blood confirmed it and legalized it, taking away every barrier. As Brother Branham said, God condescending and come down because the blood was there and He could come and do it. All right, I'm finished. You understand what I'm doing here now in the book? I'm trying to show you God, 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 God. The infinite Holy Spirit God before He had a Son, before He made an atom, before He did anything. This one, omniscient, omnipotent, and love. So, Brother Bill, I don't know if I called it love. That's the whole thing, because you don't understand it. I can't see that love is in the Word. It's a love that's described in the Word. It's a love that's here. It's not something you and I have. Something betrays us. Even as Paul said, let love be without dissimulation. Don't be a hypocrite. What love doesn't have hypocrisy in it? When love contains sex and sex contains love, the original problem. Don't talk too much about love to me. Because I've heard some nasty, crude jokes about it, and I can make up some of my own. I'm not interested anymore in any kind of love that I have or you have. I'm interested in one thing. Is it here? Can I have it? Is it down here? Because Brother Branham categorically said concerning the 13th chapter of the book of Corinthians, without love meant without the Holy Ghost. And I never understood till I realized God was in threes, and He's not omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent. He's omniscient, omnipotent, love. How can I not help but say amen to every word if I got that love in me? How can I not help my loving brethren that are worthy? They believe the same message. No, I can love in a compassionate way in the sense of that, and that compassion means doing the will of God, which is the Word. I can love those who betray this Word, that betrayed the cross, and the Christ of the cross, and the Lamb on the throne, and the God here, and His prophet that's gone away now. I can forgive. It's duty bound. I'm finding it terribly, terribly hard, I admit. Terribly hard to erase it from my minds and obviate the whole thing and just stand back and say, well, This is part of the will of God. Judas was ordained. Pharaoh was ordained. They're all ordained. I'm ordained. You're ordained. If God knew every flea and how many times it bat his eye and how many take to make a pound of tallow, he sure knew all of this. Then let me rest in the hand of Almighty God. I haven't come to that place yet to the full ability I have within me. And I'm not pleading ignorance, and I'm not giving an excuse. I'm just saying I haven't done it. But I know this much, if this life that's in this word here and fully manifested in my hour is not within here, the Holy Ghost is not within. And that's a different kind of a love from what I see out here. That's a love that goes, rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Not some creed and some dogma. Being prepared, dressed by the word. Bring on your holy vesture with the Word of God standing there. That's what really counts, brother and sister. Amen. Well, I've answered your question, whether you know it or not. If you want another answer, you've got to go someplace else. True? You've got to think up your own answer. I don't have any more to tell you. I went from beginning, from the prophet to the end, Alpha to Omega. I went from Omega to Alpha. And he said, what's in between really doesn't matter. Don't worry about it. Huh? So if you understand Omega today, huh? You really understand? She's got to be up here to get down here. This is not Edgar Cayce, who didn't understand mathematics and he being a spiritist. He put the book on his chest that night, and next morning he knew everything in the book. Try that. Say, Holy Spirit, I love you, Lord. You're so wonderful. And the Holy Ghost is here in your heart, Lord. And I love you, my friend. Yeah. You'd be like the man that dreamed he was drinking water, and he was in the desert out there dying of thirst. And he woke up, but he wasn't drinking water. The man starving, he dreamed he was eating good food, but he woke up, he wasn't eating food. You don't get it that way. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman, rightly dividing the word of truth, will never be ashamed. All right, I haven't bawled you out. I'm not angry at your questions. I love your questions. I would have had to deal with it anyway because I could see that's all over the place. It's everywhere. People just don't understand this wonderful God, omnipotent love. Decided, maybe took him, God knows what eternity is. But it took him how long, I don't know, and I don't care to put the whole plan together. And the first major one was bringing forth this son to bring forth a glorious God race unto himself. We'll never fathom it, even with eternity. It'll just be growing and growing and growing. Let's rise and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time we have together. And Lord God, I know that from my heart of hearts, I believe and understand this truth. I know I can't put it all together for satisfaction, everybody, not even myself, but I do know the reality here. The very truth of the matter, there is one God Spirit. And that's where we start and that's where we stop. And there is that Son, only begotten. That's where we start. That's where we stop. And there is a race in Adam, all died, and all made alive in Christ. There again we start, and there we stop. And there we see the consummation at the end, and there we begin, as we've never begun before, and never stop. No, just keep going on and on. We praise thee for it, Lord. Now, Father, Brother Branham said, take this message for our healing. And I hope this morning it has healed anything in anybody's mind concerning one God and His Son and His own people. And those things that the prophet taught so absolutely rock bottom here, and we have them in Scripture and follow them all the way through, Lord, to the best of our ability, and you increasing and adding. He said, take this message for your healing. May it be in the mind, may it be in the soul, may it be in the body at this time, O God, coming forth. And if there be financial difficulties, Lord, I pray you'll teach your people more and more how to cope with them too and see you work these things out for the glory of Almighty God. Help us, we pray, Lord, to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as never before and come to a full maturity in this understanding that we know the full maturity is to accept your entire grace, live, die, sink, or swim, and believe we are part of that resurrection and going on living that good Christian life, loving through this word and through the Holy Spirit. Let all things be done according to the Spirit of God brought forth in this word. Unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Oh, how I love Jesus.